I appreciate the picture that that song gives us, because, you know, we're here Christmas time. We just kind of think about a baby born in a manger, but today we get to see the big picture of it all. And, you know, when we look at the big picture of it, it didn't begin in a manger. We read that this was something that was planned before the world was created. Way back there, Jesus was with his Father when his Father said, "Let us make man in our image." So what I'd like to look at today is part of this picture, not just the manger scene, but I have four words that I'd like to use for a title, and that is, "Who for the joy?" Something, an anticipation of something that is out ahead. And we had the Christmas verses this morning. I'd like to look at some of those again, and maybe we'll hear them again this afternoon with us singing. In Luke 2 and 9, if we could just picture this happening. "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.'" Available to everybody. You know, we mentioned this morning about a caste system. People feeling like I'm on this level and someone else is lower than me. This one says, this is going to be available to all people. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And look in the 13th verse. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men.'" And you know, that message is still available today to all men. Peace, goodwill to all men. I thought of this. Jesus spent most of his ministry, a lot of his ministry was given trying to tell people that he was the Son of God, that he was sent from God. If you don't believe me, just look at the miracles that are being done. And I thought of the verse that in the 6th chapter, you know, he did some miracles. 6th chapter of John, he had people, a whole lot of people on his side. And they were following him. And he said, "You know what? You're following me for the loaves and the fishes, the things that I would give you, the temporal things," because he had just fed several thousand people. And he started telling them what it was going to be to really be his follower in the 6th chapter of John. By the time he gets down to the 66th verse, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him." And Paul said something, what's going to be done? Who for the joy that was set before him? What's he going to do with this when popularity goes away? I thought of Jesus when he came into Jerusalem. There were people throwing their coats down on the ground, so happy that he was entering. And, you know, he knew that within 5 days he would be crucified because he knew all things. And yet, I was thinking of something that Paul said. It's in Acts 20 and 24. "None of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself, because I got a plan. I want to finish my course with joy." So to be able to have that joy, Paul was saying, "You know what? I'm not looking at the things that are about to happen to me." In that same place, he was saying, "I don't really know what's going to happen, except that the Holy Ghost is saying there's trouble that's going to be out ahead of you. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, because I want to finish my course with joy." I want to be able to have that myself. So I look at Jesus' life. I'd like to look at a verse in John. What a presentation to the world. What it would have been if we could have seen it. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." You know, now Jesus has had these years that he has ministered and he has been rejected by so many people. And look at this as he anticipates. That verse that says, "Who for the joy set before him?" Look at this anticipation that he has in John 17 and 4 through 5. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now that's quite a verse right there. Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do here now. And I'm asking you, would you glorify me with the glory that I had? Just think of the multitude of angels that was presenting him to this world. What is it going to be when he is able to return back to heaven again? I want you to glorify me with the same glory that I had before. So I want to look at the verse that talks about this. It's in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, in the 11th chapter, it told about all these people that were victorious. Some of them, we read in places about the three Hebrew children, that was a victory. But you know, the 11th chapter also tells that there were some that were victorious even in their death, that they gave their life for the Lord. There's a cloud of witnesses that's been before us. We don't have to go back just in the Old Testament, the New Testament, to look at that cloud of witness. I'm able to look just in the rearview mirror. You can, too. Just in my lifetime, faithful people who put their hand in the Lord's, they're now in this cloud of witnesses. And it's telling me, now it's time for me to run this with patience this race that is set before us. And then that second verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, I kind of think of that there in John 17, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had before all this happened. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, the Son of God going through what he was going through, and yet he counted that shame as not real important to him. Despising the shame, and now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I'm thinking about for myself today, preparing my heart, preparing my affections to where I can say, who for the joy that is set before me, an anticipation of the prize that is awaiting the faithful. To me, it is real important for us right now as we're going through this life. We have temporal duties to take care of, but that we would be real careful that I be able to see there's a joy set ahead of me, and I want to be able to attain it. Over in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, if you then be risen with Christ, first verse, set your affection, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections, you know, who for the joy that was set before him. It's going to take for me to be able to see that as joy set before me after my death. I'm going to have set my affections now on things above and not on things of the earth. There's another verse for me, because here's where we're living every day. You know, I want to make heaven my home. But you know what? I need to be setting my affections there. In Matthew in the 6th chapter, it's given us some advice. 19th verse. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through or steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You know, there's a song that we sing, since my treasure is on yonder shore, I must gain it and live there for a. You know, we're going to have temporal things in this life, but to be able to hold them so loosely that heaven holds all to me. This verse is telling us, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. I don't think that's meaning don't have any money in your savings account. Don't let your heart be set on those things. Have it to where, you know what, my treasure is over in heaven, and I want to be able to make it. I want to be who for the joy that was set before us. We're willing to endure some things that come into our life. There's another verse when we read about it in Luke 12 and 15. It says, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know, that's something important for me as I'm going through this life, attaining some temporal things and realizing, you know what? One day, all of that will go up in smoke if I'm not gone and just left it behind me. Don't set my heart on it. So that one's saying a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things, because you know what? One day I will breathe one more breath and I'll leave it all behind. And then it tells us the story about the rich man. And when I look at that, I don't know what your Bible has at the beginning of that little story. But in Luke 12, we know the story. But mine, my Bible had a little heading above the story itself. And mine just kind of cut through everything. It said the parable of the rich fool. You know, it didn't wait, okay, I'm going to tell you all the things that he did successfully, and then God's going to call him a fool. But it just kind of headed the title, the parable of the rich fool. Brought forth plentifully, but 12 and 21 is what is the important verse for us. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, this service this morning for us coming together, you know, we could have gotten up this morning and said, this is a beautiful day. I'm going to work in my yard. I'm going to do some things for myself this day. But we have chosen to set that aside and come here for this day because, you know what? I desire to be rich toward God. I want him to know, you know what? I've got some things here, but my treasure is really over there. And there's two songs that came to my mind. Which one of these songs will be my picture? Here's one of them. I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. I'm thinking about my life now. And when I breathe my last, time and eternity for me is going to meet. And this one talked about a crashing of ages. How is my life going to be when I breathe my last? You know, I would love to live a balance to where it's not a crashing of ages for me. Here's the other song. There light and life without an end into eternity will blend. What would it be if I could live my life to where when I breathe my last, it's just a blending. And I, the Lord of life, shall greet, and I'm going to worship at his blessed feet. You know, we're preparing for that time now. Our life, the things that we do, the choices we make, the thoughts that we think, are all deciding, will my last be a crash or will it be a merge, a blending? I'm thankful that the Lord goes along with us and he talks to us if we're getting too much temporally minded or if too much on, what does it say, overcharged. Our heart can get overcharged with just temporal things. We can go onto the interstate today and we see that sign, merge. Come on, blend on in with the traffic. Do you, when you pull onto the interstate, do you anticipate it's going to be a crash here? You know what? If you anticipated it, I'm just so nervous, I know I'm going to crash you. You probably will. But you know what? It's possible for us to get on the interstate literally, and it just is a merge. We're watching. We have paid attention. We're ready for it. And to be able to merge, you know what? It is going to be so valuable for us to be able to merge from this life into the next one without a crash. Yes. We have an example of that. It's in Revelations 22 and the 20th verse. Jesus is speaking and he's talking to John. He said, surely I come quickly. If that was Jesus speaking to any one of us, I'm coming quickly for you. It's time now. what would my response be? Would it be, Lord, I tell you, I've got some things that I need to take care of. Could you give me a couple of days and I'll be ready? I love John's response. Here's the message and here's my answer. What was it? Even so come, Lord Jesus. We can live in that kind of a place to where it's not a crashing of ages. I have watched it. You have watched it. There have been faithful people. That's not listed in the Bible. The Bible was finished before they came along. In our lifetime, we have watched faithful people that merged from this life into eternity, who for the joy that was set before them, they endured some things. You know, I was thinking we have sometimes death is portrayed as the grim reaper. I even saw a picture of it that is, this is supposed to depict what death is going to be. You know what? It does not have to be that. You will also hear them say, this person lost the battle to cancer or whatever. Not to the Christian. It wasn't a lost battle. And I am so thankful for that. It's not a grim reaper. You know, we're preparing ourselves today. Who for the joy that was set before me, I'm going to endure some things. I'm going to go through some things because I've got this anticipation of what is out ahead for us. You know, I still see Cheryl's journey as it was not the grim reaper. It was the Lord coming along and saying, this is what I have prepared to bring you to heaven. If we could see it as that, the Lord is in control of all things. He is, our desire is, I want to make heaven my home at the end. Who for the joy that was set before me, I'm willing to go through. You know, we have a lot of people right now on our prayer list that are going through some major sicknesses. And unless the Lord heals them, they too will breathe their last breath. You know, my desire for them is that the Lord would bless them with the thought, there's some joy set out ahead for me if I'll be faithful. To the point that, here's a verse that the world will probably never understand. 1 Corinthians 15 and 54. Because to the world, I give everything to extend and buy another day of staying here. To the Christian, I hand it over into God's hands. 15 and 54 says, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. You know how valuable that's going to be for every one of us? Because I've got some news. None of us is going to get out of here alive. The whole world, every person individually, is going to have to, because it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. It's coming for us. You know what's a blessing for us here today? Is we're able to anticipate it, prepare for it, and realize, you know what, there's some joy set out ahead for us. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, down toward the end, it starts telling us about the Lord coming again. What does that subject bring to my mind? I can remember hearing old preachers talking about it when I was young. And you know, it did not bring happy thoughts to me. You know, I had thoughts of getting married and having a family and doing all these things out ahead. So the thought of this is all going to come to an end one day. And I remember at that time, you know what? That's been going on for many years. If you read 2 Peter 3, it was almost as if they anticipated it happening right then. The end would come. Well, the end still has not come, but it will. And so I look at this in 1 Thessalonians 4. And it's telling us, it's coming. Here's the things that are going to happen. But what I like about that is that very last verse, after it's described it all, it says, I want you to comfort one another with these words. Now, you know, we can easily say, that's not much comfort to think I'm fixing to die and go out of here. But I think there's a place that we can live to where we enjoy what we have here. But as a Christian, I have an anticipation that things are going to be better out ahead for us. Song, hope has brought us through the dangers and temptations of the past, and we fear not those to come. By her blessing, we're going to go forward while our mortal life shall last, and then we will joyously go home. Lord, help me to be balanced in my life while I'm living here with an anticipation that one day I will go out to meet the Lord, who for the joy set before us. I want to have an anticipation of that joy that is set before me. There's another song. This robe of flesh I will drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And I'm going to shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You know, we have prayed many prayers through our life. Sister Maxine's sick yesterday, and we're all praying for her. Lord, would you help her out? There's going to come a time where there is no more need for prayer. It will all be praise over there, and I'm thankful for it. I look at Paul. He had an anticipation of the joy that was set out ahead of him. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Who for the joy that was set before him endured some things. Lord, help me, help us to be able to look at the things that come into my life. They seem big at the moment. Help me to realize that these troubles that come to me, they're but for a moment, and they're trying to work something in my life. They're but for a moment compared to my span of, we can't even say time, when I say that I have merged into eternity. Help me to realize that there is a benefit from those things. There's another verse in Romans 8 and 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared. If we can just get a glimpse of what it's going to be over there and be able to say who for the joy that is set before us, we're going to have some troubles all come into our life between here and there. You know, Jesus brought here from heaven for us and went through some major difficulties in his life. But it says of him, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame, counted it of no big problem to him because he had an anticipation of something that was out ahead. And we can have that ourselves. Here's what I want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What all is contained in that little clip? Enter into the joy of the Lord. When I think about what it must be compared to what we're having to go through in this life, what it is that there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow, I want to have an anticipation of that. You know, I don't want to be so wrapped in this world and the temporal things that I don't have an anticipation of something that's better out ahead for us. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Now, he tells us, too, why he's in a strait betwixt two. He had been through a lot of things happen in his life. It says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 24 to 26, here's some of the things. 5 times he had received 40 stripes, save one. 39 lashes on his back. About the time that one starts to heal up, he gets another one. 5 times he's received them. It says 3 times he was beaten with rods. Wonder what his back looked like. It says 1 time he was stoned. Three times he suffered shipwreck, probably longing for the joy that was set before him. He endured some things. So with those things that can happen in his life, they happened in his life. But you know what? He was able to look out ahead, and when he finished it all, he didn't say, God has dealt some serious things into my life. I'm going to talk to him whenever I meet up with him, why he allowed all those things. What did he say? I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. And it's not laid up just for me only, but it's laid up for all those who love his appearing. And that can include all of us. You know, with the serious illnesses that we're praying about, God could heal every one of them. Yes. He is well able to do it. I am very thankful that we put it in his hands, because we can relax when we put it in his hands. He allows us to tell him exactly how we would like him to take care of, to do his business. And then we put it in his hands. Jesus did that himself when he said, Father, if it be possible, would you let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know what? Some of those things, I think even at that time, he's seeing with anticipation who for the joy that was set before him. There's heaven out ahead for him. So we have, should it not be healing, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. I want to be able to see that as, when it says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven. It says, here's the problem is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want my treasure to be over there. Should we just, I can't stand living here anymore. I want to be gone from here. Nuh-uh. I believe the Lord wants us to just enjoy every day that he gives us. But when we see the beautiful days like today, it ought to just bring to my mind, if this day is this great, what's it like over there? With no sorrow. You know what? There will be no uprisings over there. We have places over here where somebody takes over another country, or wars and things going on. Folks, I got a view in my mind of what heaven is. Won't be any of those things there. We got to make it. I want to make it. I'd like for us to sing number 198. Life will end in joyful singing. I have fought a faithful fight. Then we'll lay our armor down. You know, we read these scriptures where fight the good fight of faith. Here, you need this shield. You need this protection to be able to make it. Then we'll lay our armor down, and our soul will break the cable here and take its happy flight to possess a starry crown. I want to be able to make it. I want to be able to show the world a balance in my life. I enjoy the temporal things he gives me. I go to work every day. But I always want to keep in a view. You know, we sing the song, ever keep heaven in view. That needs to affect my decisions, my thoughts, the things that are the most valuable in my life. And I want to be able to have that. Maybe we can stand and sing that number.